check a bit for ourselves, that we wouldn't just talk the talk, but we'd walk the walk, being transformed by the truth of the gospel day by day. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. Whatever is at the centre of our life will be the source of our security, guidance, wisdom, and power. Whatever is at the centre of our life will be the source of our security, guidance, wisdom, and power. Now, that quotation is not from the Bible. I take it, in fact, from Stephen Covey's famous book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Don't worry, you haven't walked into a management seminar by mistake this morning. Because much of what Covey says is, I won't say stolen is the wrong word, but appropriated from Christian understanding. Because he sees the fundamental issue is that the way we live arises out of what we have at our center, our fundamental values and character. So rightly in the book, he doesn't offer a quick fix. He realized that the challenge we all face is to live a worthwhile life from the inside out. So I do find it strange that people often take management experts seriously when they offer to help us and charge enormous fees for it, I may add, but not that I'm bitter or twisted about that kind of thing. But actually, the same wisdom, when it seemed to come from the Christian scriptures, is not taken as seriously as when you've paid your management consultant for it. I rest my case. Now, 2019 will offer us all, as individuals and as St. Mark's, lots of opportunity to reveal what is at the center of our life. Because no doubt, we face a year that will bring its share of challenges. There is, of course, the uncertain fate of Brexit and how it affects us. I will say no more. As a church, there's always a challenge about the need for volunteers and the turnover of people. There are the security issues that face Paris, France, and the rest of the world. And that's even before the individual pastoral and personal challenges that come up. In all this, in 2019, what will be revealed as the center of our life, the source of our security, guidance, wisdom, and power? Well, in 2019, of course, our prayer is that Christ will be revealed as the center of our life and that he will be the source of our security, guidance, wisdom, and power. And if we want to see what that looks like, what does it actually look like when that happens, then Colossians is the perfect place to look. Because possibly no other place in the New Testament gives such an exalted place to Christ himself. That's why I said earlier, it's the perfect text for the season of Epiphany. Epiphany being the season of the revelation of Christ. So my prayer would be in 2019, we may see Christ in a new light and live by his light. And as we go through the letter, we'll see that it talks about Christ in terms of the image of the invisible God, that he's the head of the church, he's the Christian's life and our hope of glory. He's the Lord, the one who'll have first place in everything. He holds the universe together. So surely he can hold us, his church, and our life together. But Colossians begins by encouraging us. That first verses that we read, they were encouraging. Did you sense the warmth and the vision of Paul's prayer? Yeah, whenever I think of you, I pray for you with thanksgiving. I pray for you all the time. There is a warmth of encouragement. And that's the tone. But of course, the bedrock on which all this encouragement stands is the reality of God's power and grace. Paul begins with the great realities that God is good. He is powerful. He is gracious and generous. He is at work in you. And we'll keep on working till you die and beyond. But as for Jesus, well, he is the key to it all. So that's the first few verses of Colossians are full of encouraging truth. Truth to build a secure life on. Josh McDowell He is a well-known American Christian author. And in one of his many books, he writes about a conversation that he had with Amber, a 16-year-old girl, a Christian from a solid Christian youth group. And he asks Amber, is it wrong to engage in premarital sex? Well, I believe it's wrong for me, replies Amber. Ah, yes, he says, but do you believe that the Bible teaches that that's wrong for everyone? Amber's eyes shift back and forth as she weighs her answer. Well, I know it's wrong for me, and I've chosen not to have sex until I'm married, but I don't think I can judge other people on what they do. Well, McDowell points out, like so many people today, Amber has been conditioned to believe the truth is not necessarily true or binding for them unless they choose to believe it. That's why interviews and surveys suggest that something like, 80% or more of young adults below the age of 35 hold the view that all truth is relative to the individual and his or her circumstances. And growing out of this view, there's all sorts of ways of life, about making choices about, if it feels all right to me, that's fine, or it doesn't hurt anyone else, so I can do what I like. Some of this outlook comes from experience, because we do live in a world of spin and media and political manipulation. Lots said that it's basically for propaganda purposes. And too many times, leaders in government or business or finance and even the church have been revealed as a bunch of liars and con artists. So it's not surprising then that people are suspicious when anybody claims to have the truth. Something that is not just, true for me, leaving you to pick and choose what you will accept or not, but true in the uncompromising sense of it's true whether you like it or not. It is what it is, to use that dreadful phrase that I use far too often. That it's just, that's what it is. You might remember a few years ago, it was Al Gore, who was he a vice president of the United States? Yes, absolutely, I knew that. That Al Gore came up with a wonderful title for his book and film on global warming, An Inconvenient Truth. Whatever you make of the film or the book, it's a fantastic title. It's an inconvenient truth. Something we might prefer to ignore or disregard or leave to other people to deal with, but the kind of truth that does not allow us the luxury of picking and choosing. As I've said, by and large, people are suspicious when anyone claims to offer the truth. That's certainly true in the realm of faith. They want to know, what's your agenda? What do you have to gain from this? Why should I trust you? Are you in it for the money? How do you know? Aren't you being incredibly arrogant when you claim to know the truth? But the letter to the Colossians forces us with all humility to say there really is truth to be believed and lived. Truth not just for the person who happens to like it, but truth for everyone, everywhere. Verses 5 and 6. The word of truth, the gospel that has come to you all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. The gospel is the word of truth. And when these believers come to faith in Jesus Christ, they come to understand God's grace in all its truth. This is not an inconvenient truth, it is an encouraging truth that the gospel is true. And it is truth that transforms. And we need to remind ourselves that the gospel is not just something that's true for me or those who happen to believe it. No, it's not. It's a non-negotiable truth. Jesus is Lord. That is not negotiable. Not just the Lord of anyone who happens to choose to believe in him. He is the one and only Lord. And we'll find out more about this as we journey through the first part of Colossians over the next few weeks. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, announces to everyone the truth that Jesus has come to this earth to die for the sins of humanity, and that God raised him from the dead, declaring him as risen Lord of all. The gospel is not just a lifestyle choice to accept or reject. It is a command to be obeyed and a power let loose in our world. It is the truth, and it's a reality that every person has to face up to. Now, ultimately, the fact that this gospel is true is important because, I don't know, sometimes if you're like me, you feel, well, you don't feel what is actually true. We just kind of live our life and there's this truth happening somewhere over here. Like we might go through a great art gallery, admire some wonderful painting and say, ooh, isn't that great? And yet move on, perhaps unchanged. But we hear what the gospel does when it gets a grip of us and we live under it, verse 10. And we pray this, that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. This is encouraging truth, this great transfer of allegiance into the kingdom of his Son. But I say, if you're like me, some days you wake up in the morning and you just feel, whatever. It's just another day. It's another grey winter morning. And as we sit in the metro or a bus or whatever, or we stay at home, we think, yeah, okay. But the truth of the gospel reminds us that God has done amazing things for us, even if it doesn't feel like it on a cold grey morning. It may not feel like it, but he has redirected our lives from destruction to joy, given us what we could never deserve or earn, and is helping us more and more to live like this. I like the way that Eugene Peterson, the Message, many of you know it, it's paraphrase come translation. And he has a helpful paraphrase of those same verses, Colossians 1, 10 to 14. Let me read it to you. We pray that you live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you'll learn how to do your work. We pray you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It's strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful he has for us. God rescued us from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. That's the truth to live by, to appreciate the truth of what God has done for us. In fact, is one of the key steps to maturity that is here in Colossians. That's one of the first key steps, is to realize that there is truth irrespective of how we feel about it. And it's how we come into line with that truth is a key element in Christian transformation. So I'd encourage you in 2019, whatever it brings, even in the face of the B word, to seek to make it a year of genuine spiritual growth for you. Growing spiritual maturity. Growing in the depth of your relationship with Christ. And this is spelt out in the early part of Colossians. Did you notice the kind of words that are used to describe what happens as we grow up as Christians? Verse 9, there are three key words. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. This involves our growing understanding of the truth of the gospel as we are now God's new creation, God's new humanity. Harking back to those words I read at the start of the service, this extraordinary privilege and responsibility of what it is to be God's people. I mean, take a moment just to look around. Just look at the people around here. please feel free to turn your head or your body. I get to see you. And it's a pleasure, I hasten to point out. But I mean, these are not, there are no normal people. There are only God's new creation in his infinitely creative way. And Paul prays that we'll increase our knowledge of God's will, with the result we live more and more as God intends, so we increase more and more in the knowledge of God. So understanding will fuel holiness, and holiness will deepen understanding. It's a cycle of growth. It's a virtuous circle. The word translated endurance in verse 11 is a word that deals with our circumstances. How do we stand firm under pressure or in impossible circumstances? Well, according to verse 11, we grow. We grow rather than growl, I've heard it put. That's definitely an improvement in my response to things. Do we grow or do we growl about it? And that's a great way of looking at that verse. The verse 11, the word for patience, has to do with impossible people rather than impossible circumstances. How are we coping by the power of God with a person or people that we find really difficult to get along with? Because that is generally the rule about how God helps us to grow in love. It's not by attending more Bible studies or prayer meetings, but it's about being put next to people who are not like us. That is how it works. Now, the more we understand the truth, the more we're able to live it in a life that pleases God, enriches our lives, and blesses others. And what does that transformed life look like? Well, going into 2019, as I pondered this, I think as I read Colossians and elsewhere, what will it look like if this truth really gets a hold of us? Well, we'll be more patient, probably more kind. We will not seek just our own benefit, but will strive to do to others what we'd have them do to us. We will not be so irritable. Maybe that was just for me, but I'll share it anyway. We will return good for evil. We will use our time wisely and well. We will more and more live our lives for others. That's what happens when gospel truth that transforms takes root in us and transforms us. Because all biblical truth is given for transformation, not information. We mustn't delude ourselves that simply reading or listening to the Bible, even listening to sermons, are sufficient in themselves to grow as Christians. Whenever we gain some fresh Bible knowledge, the question is always to ask, and what difference does this make? What difference does it make to how I treat that person that I find really difficult or I find really nice? What difference does it make about the choice or the decisions that I face that I'm concerned about? How does this affect my attitude to the things that I'm worried about or excited about? Always have that inner dialogue with any biblical truth that you hear. Basically, what difference does it make? And of course the question, yes, but how? The foundation of our life, at the very center, as Stephen Covey rightly points out, we find our beliefs. And these beliefs shape our values, and our values will drive our behavior. Ultimately, as we believe, so we become. This is why the truth of the gospel is so important. I conclude with kind of a parable of this. Imagine that you live in an apartment with a terrible landlord. For some of you, that'll be easy. But no repairs get done. The electricity and water supply often fail. They keep raising the rent and generally making your life miserable. Then one day, great news. The building is sold and you have a new landlord. Repairs get done, conditions improve, and life is getting better. Then one day, the doorbell rings. You answer the door. To your horror, standing there is your old landlord. He demands, pay me the rent. Let me in. I'm in charge here. What do you do? Well, you don't argue with him. You don't threaten to punch him on the nose. you say, no, go away. Because you know, however much the old landlord shouts or tries to convince you, the truth is he has no more business with you. The truth is, whatever anyone else may say, you have a new landlord. Well, the truth of the gospel has the power to transform us. So remember, in 2019, whatever is at the center of our life will be the source of our security, guidance, wisdom, and power. 2019 gives us the chance to demonstrate practically that Christ is at the center. Let me pray for us for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel, that it really is good news. And we pray that you will give us a freshness in our understanding and appreciation of Jesus and all that he does for us. We pray that this vision that we will find in Colossians will be fulfilled more and more in us as we both hear and believe this great truth. And that in believing, we might have life in Jesus' name. Amen.